How's it going, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Vietes Rundown. I'm your host, Manny Vietes. Today, I'm going to be talking about a little bit about Laker basketball with some LA natives here. I got two of my fraternity brothers in the house. I got Wisdom Hal. He's a senior at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and he's a journalism student born and raised in Rancho Cucamonga. How's it going, Wiz?
Living good, looking good, loving life.
All right. Then we got my other boy, AV. Alex Verona's in the building. He's a senior at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas as well. Diehard Laker fan, and he is a communications major. How's it going, Alex?
Living good, looking good, and that's about it.
All right. So I'm not a Laker fan. Never have been in my life. Grew up.
Feel sorry for you.
Grew up kind of, you know, hating Kobe to a certain extent. LeBron was my guy growing up. So I never kind of had that.
It's tragic.
Never kind of had that heartfelt feel for Kobe. Never even watched him on TV. To be honest with you, I watched him. I never really kind of, you know, like was a fan. But I want to just kind of just ask you guys, what is your initial reactions of what happened with Magic? What happened with Bus firing Kupchak, firing her brother? You know, was it something that needed to happen? And like, kind of, what was your overall, you know, feeling about the whole process and how it all went down?
You know, the writing's been on the wall for a while. Magic, he's really been stepping up just in the LA community itself, like taking over the Dodgers. So it's really just been, you know, something that we've just been waiting for. We've wanted it for a while. Magic's literally a hometown hero. If he ran for mayor tomorrow, I'm voting for him personally. So
yeah, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, I think you said it best. Writing's been on the wall for a while. You know, in regards to Jim and Mitch and, you know, where their job stood, I think that the proof is in the couple of last few deals they made in the offseason. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you look at the Mozgov deal, even the Luol Deng deal.
That was bad.
You know, those are bad deals. I mean, decent deals in the short term because we obviously, you know, we needed that. You know, we needed some guys at those positions, but those are deals that really hamstring us in the long run.
No, well, yeah, he did make one good one, which was the Jordan Clarkson one,
right?
No,
yeah,
that was 50 million,
right? Yeah, that's good. So I mean, you're compounding one good long term deal with two, you know, long term disasters. Really, I mean, I think that you know, those two deals really were more in the interest of their job security. You know, maybe, okay, you know, the thought's probably maybe we can turn this into an 8th seed team. You know, we got some young guys, we got some old pieces. Maybe we get into the playoffs as the 8th or 7th seed, and then we have a record to point at saying, you know, hey, you know, we're not that bad. You know, we're making steps in the right direction. But, you know, those are deals that obviously were going to hamstring us in the long run. I think that kind of did them in as far as their jobs are concerned.
Oh, no, yeah, exactly. They obviously were under a lot of fire the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. You know, they basically had like a forfeit season last year.
Right.
It was just Kobe's farewell tour.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't really blame him for that.
You got to
pay your respects, but you know, you couldn't really, that was a whole year of just,
I mean, it was unwatchable, yeah.
Undevelopmental basketball,
yeah,
for your young guys.
Yeah.
And you know, like D'Angelo Russell, he's my guy. I wanted to see him do something last year,
mm-hmm.
but kind of couldn't because mm-hmm. Kobe's just taking all the shots and
right.
You know, just it was kind of just like, okay, let me just take, you know, watch Kobe hawk up 20 shots a game and then
yeah.
D'Angelo Russell gets his like 15 shots, maybe scores like, you know, 17, 18 points. It wasn't really like a fair assessment.
Yeah.
So even this season, it's not really another fair assessment of, you know, how these players can play because this is kind of like their rookie year in a sense.
Right.
Because they had to wait a whole year to like sit back and watch Kobe do his thing.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, I definitely like the hiring too. So I definitely feel like it's going to bring like a different environment to LA basketball. And it was much needed. So yeah, I definitely agree with you guys on that. And so another question I want to ask you. So since Magic and Kobe are kind of the Lakers franchise.
Right.
And they've, you know, definitely brought most of the championships there to LA. You think that it's more of like a okay, I'm Magic Johnson, I'm the you know, all-star, I'm the, you know, the champion, you know, like the Michigan State guy, I'm that guy in LA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you think that's like the aura of him being the basketball operations president?
Yeah.
Or is more of like an aura like, okay, like I'm actually going to be a GM and do my job?
Yeah.
Or is like he's going to step inside of a room with, you know, other GMs in the NBA and he's going to get that feeling like everyone's going to get that feeling like, oh, it's Magic Johnson, you know?
Yeah.
Or are people just going to look at him as like the basketball operations guy?
Mm-hmm. You want to go?
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, Magic's aura is very influential, but honestly, he's more of a people person than anything. Mm-hmm. Like, you sit Magic down with the table with somebody else, they're just gonna fall in love with the guy. So, anything that he does going forward is gonna be based on like both his basketball knowledge, because clearly, you know, one of the best point guards of all time. Just he knows so much about the game that like other people can't understand because they never played it. Mm-hmm. Especially a lot of these GMs coming up. So, if you sit him down with a player, he's really just gonna have that instant connection with them.
Yeah. More than anything else, I think a lot of the criticism that he's received since the hiring is that, you know, he got the job because he's charming and because he's famous.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's a Laker legend,
that's why he got the job.
Yeah, that is why he got the job. But, you know, I don't, you know, and I've heard a lot of the comparisons between him and how Phil was a disaster in New York. And, you know, the big difference is Magic wants to be he wants to be the guy in LA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants to do that job and he wants to do it well. And the bottom line is, if you sit in a room, you know, with Magic Johnson, Luke Walton, you know, Pelinka, and Luke Walton, now all of a sudden LA, you know, and then we got all these young pieces. Now all of a sudden it becomes the attractive destination that it was a few years ago in a different way because the right people are in place.
Yeah, so moving on from that, that's what I want to talk about in particular the Rob Pelinka hiring.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he was Kobe's agent. Mm-hmm. He's actually managing multiple players right now. He's managing James Harden, Andre Iguodala, Avery Bradley, some notable names.
Yeah.
Do you think that's going to have an influence in players coming there? And do you think Kobe will ultimately start having a say in the franchise? Well, because I know he's on Kobe's leash, and Kobe wanted him to be part of the Lakers when he was, you know, playing for the Lakers. So now he's a part of it. You think Kobe's going to have a little bit of influence now moving forward? Just a little bit?
I think, you know, just a little bit, but nothing like really notable, just because, you know, Kobe knows it's time to step back. He knows how bad last year was. So there's a little bit, not a terribly sour taste in everybody's mouth, but, you know, Kobe had his time. We gave him last year. We got to move forward. So I think it's going to be a little while before Kobe really starts getting involved mm-hmm. with the Lakers again. But he's definitely going to come back eventually.
Yeah, but just kind of like that Magic thing, you know, too. Like, mm-hmm. it's Magic and Kobe. Like, who wouldn't want to go and, mm-hmm. you know, at least learn from them?
Right.
You know, I saw in pregame before the game the other night against the Thunder, you saw Magic out on the court just helping out Brandon Ingram, just putting shots up with him, teaching him, like, just a little thing before the game. But, you know, that's something that's a little thing that just goes to show that Magic's there,
mm-hmm.
like for actually, like, the player development. They're for the players. And mm-hmm. maybe Kobe could work himself into a role in, like, years to come, which I probably think is going to happen. Yeah. He's just taking a little break right now.
For Kobe, I think that, you know, you look at the way the whole Dwight Howard thing got handled. You know, we swung and missed on Melo. We swung and missed on Durant. And I think a lot of it was, you know, Kobe's presence is intimidating. I mean, anybody, you know, anybody that knows basketball or that's been in the NBA that's dealt with Kobe or mm-hmm. played with Kobe will tell you that.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But I think now, you know, when you talk about Kobe having an influence with the Lakers, I think now if he does, and I don't think it'll ever turn and materialize into a job or anything like that, but I definitely think he's going to have influence without a question. I mean, Magic Johnson has never had a job till now, and we all know how influential he's been, you know, in everything Lakers, you know, over the past decade. But, you know, when you talk about now utilizing Kobe, now imagine you're going into a meeting, you're a free agent, and you got Kobe, the retired guy, sitting there versus Kobe, the active player.
Oh, exactly.
Now you're thinking, like, well, here I am sitting with Kobe and Magic, but really, you know, this, you know, if I'm a Paul George coming in, let's say at the end of next year, like, this is my team. You know, I'm not coming in here, you know, worried about what Kobe's doing or what, you know, about any of that stuff. So now I think it turns into something that was kind of negative, you know, with the Melo and the Dwight. You know, Kobe was kind of an overshadow, but now, you put him in that room, and I think he's a good asset.
Yeah, being
great asset.
Yeah, especially for these new, you know, all stars, these new all NBA players. They see like the success that superstars have had
mm-hmm.
in LA, and now they're just thinking, okay, like that could be me now. That could mm-hmm. I could be the next Kobe.
I could be that guy.
And the funny thing is, they grew up watching him.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just like another, you know, just like another bread in their basket. Like, they got Kobe there, you know, they could definitely try to fill it in some more players. So that's another thing I wanted to ask. So what are the Lakers going to do with Paul George? There was a lot of talks that sparked up the other day that the Lakers, like, that he wanted to go to the Lakers, and people were kind of upset at Magic that he didn't make a push to go and get him. But I mean, I really didn't see the actual value in grabbing Paul George right now, when you're obviously not going to make the playoffs.
Right.
You're not going to be even a contender, especially in the Western Conference. So you signing Paul George right now actually absolutely means nothing. Mm-hmm. So do you think that in the next 2 years, do you think Paul George is actually going to attempt to come to LA, or do you think that Lakers are actually going to trade for him next year? Because in 2 years, the Lakers do have one spot on the roster for a max player. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if these picks don't work out within the next couple of years, if they lose this first round pick coming up, and if they lose this pick, they lose the 2019 first round pick. Mm-hmm. So if that happens, I mean, you kind of got to see where it plays out closer to the just closer to the draft. But once it gets closer to that point, then you're going to kind of have to assess your team and see, hey, maybe like we can't rebuild through the draft, and maybe we're going to have to go after like a Paul George or like a Jimmy Butler or maybe even Isaiah Thomas because he's expressed interest. So what do you got to think about that?
I think going forward, you're definitely going to have to wait and see, because if we wanted to go get Paul George and we lose the top three protected pick this year, then what do we have to go get it with? You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to trade D'Angelo. I mean, you could trade D'Angelo Russell, Brandon Ingram, but that's pretty much selling what you're selling to him back to the team that he was at. So he'd have nothing to come to.
And I think the front office has already made it. We're not parting ways with Brandon Ingram anytime soon. I mean, that's been made. Yeah, you know, as clear as can be.
Yeah, that's another thing. So the other day, would you think that if Magic was in office 2 days before the whole DeMarcus Cousins trade went down?
Do we get DeMarcus?
Do you think that they would have traded Brandon Ingram for DeMarcus Cousins?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. But I think that now that that's passed, I think it's been expressed very clearly that we're not going to be parting ways with him anytime soon. It's hard to say what he would have done, you know, before the fact. I don't really know. But I know that, you know, once we're in 2018, and I really am all for just waiting and signing him when he's a free agent. I think that's the best move. Because I think by then, you know, we'll see the true value in all our, you know, in all our young guys and all our picks by then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so the Lakers are gonna have to make a decision. If their pick does fall in within the top three in this year's draft, I feel like they need to personally go and draft the best player, like a Markelle Fultz from Washington, Lonzo Ball. That can definitely change a franchise. And then you got like D'Angelo Russell, or maybe Lonzo Ball, and then you got Jordan Clarkson, which you can ship off his contract because you probably wouldn't need him.
Yeah.
You know, and then Brandon Ingram too.
Yeah,
but you know, if you drop out of that top three, it's like, You're not gonna have a first round draft pick, you know, in the top for like a while now. So it's either you trade away your players and try to get picks, or you just sit there and you know keep winning like 20 games a season and nothing happens. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's gonna be interesting to see what Magic and Plinga do moving forward. But that's another thing I was gonna talk about. So when the Lakers were winning, there was no problems. You know, when they were out there just shining, there was nothing that was going on. There was, you know, everyone's living the LA lifestyle. No one's even, you know, caring about what's going on in the front office. And then all these decisions started happening. You know, I felt like Jeannie had like all the pressure on her in the world, especially after she received, you know, full control of the whole Lakers organization. And I feel like it was just something coming that it just had to happen. And I feel like just the fans wanted the change in general. Like they just wanted everything to end up just changing, and wanted the Lakers to basically just end up they wanted to keep the Kobe era, but they just wanted to detach themselves just completely out of it. So Magic says he's not fixing it. He's not going to fix it overnight. So what do you guys think that Magic is going to do, like right now?
Right.
Like right now in this instance, what do you think he's going to do for this next like remainder of the season? Is he going to try to tell his guys to tank or what's going to happen? Because if they don't tank, they're going to definitely, you know, probably won't get that top three pick. And that's probably the most valuable asset you guys have in your organization right now is to go and try to get that top three pick. Because if you guys don't, then it's definitely going to be a long road coming, because that could definitely change your franchise for 5-6 years to come.
Well, I mean, just by the move they made at the trade deadline, you know, getting rid of our leading scorer, Lou Williams, you're putting them in a position where they're probably not going to succeed, But you're never going to tell him to not succeed.
Right.
Like, you know, he's trying to develop his players. He's developing Brandon Ingram, like you said earlier, just little things before the game. So I don't think he's ever going to, like, put them down and, like, make them feel like, you know, all right, you're going to have to go out and lose this one, guy. Sorry. Like, you know, take the L on your chest. But literally don't have the talent to beat a lot of people. So I think it's going to end up working out personally.
Yeah, like wouldn't the best situation be, like, you know, let's...
Lose every game.
No, well, yeah.
That's the best situation.
Oh, yeah, lose obviously. Every game, yeah, but... No, like
it's easy for us to sit back and say that, obviously.
Oh yeah, you know? No, but you go out there, right? You have these young guys go out there and play, and then you know you want to see them play good all game. It's a four or five point game. You know,
yeah.
2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, but you want to see them lose,
right?
You know, you want to see them do good. You want to see these young guys score. You want to see Brandon Ingram actually develop. You want to give fans something to hold on to,
right?
But you know, you keep in the back of your mind that, yo, if we don't get this pick, you know, we're going to be, you know.
Yeah.
So.
The it's funny you said that. Yeah, Wiz said it perfectly. You want to see him, I mean, you know, as fans, we want to see him lose because we want the pick. But I think it's more about, you know, individualized improvement, you know, within, you know, wins within, you know, the actual game. You know, how does, you know, how's Ingram doing in this facet of the game and this facet of the game? You know, is D'Angelo, you know, getting people involved the way he needs to? You know, is Julius, you know, getting better in the post? Just little things like that that I think are more, that I think he's placing the emphasis on now, and that's exactly where it should be. I mean, like you said, we shipped off our leading scorer. I mean, if that's no indicator of where we're headed for the rest of the season, then I don't really know what is.
Yeah, so... So that whole Lou Williams trade, that was basically just to get rid of. Yeah, just, I mean, like I see the side of like from the Lakers fans where they're like, oh, like why did we get rid of our leading scorer? Like that's Lou Williams. Like you know, he comes in and scores, you know, 20 points a game. But okay, you got D'Angelo Russell that you haven't seen him even develop in a fourth quarter, and then you give the ball to Lou Williams, which is a you know like he like you know like he's an assist guy, but he's also a ball stopper too.
Yeah,
you know. Like especially on that Lakers team, like you know he's on the Rockets now, but now he could pass it to Eric Gordon
and get out of the way.
Yeah, but that's what it was. But now he could now he's on the Rockets. He could pass it to Eric Gordon or Ryan Anderson or James Harden, and they could just chuck up a three at any time, and you know they're over 50%. You know,
everybody that's interested in the long term success of the Lakers or you know has any sort of you know, idea of what's good for the long-term success. The Lakers knows that Lou Williams is not in the long-term picture for the team. I mean, that's just...
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, he made himself really valuable this year, I think.
Yeah, dude, so they traded Lou Williams for that first-round pick from the Rockets. You know, they basically didn't trade for Corey Brewer. You know, they didn't need Corey Brewer.
He's gone.
But they traded for Corey Brewer's contract. They wanted that low level you know player where they don't have to pay that much, and plus they got that number one pick just in case if their pick does fall out of the top three, then you know they
some kind of asset.
Yeah, but that pick's gonna end up like you know 25, 26, 27. You know you don't really you know it's not gonna do too much, but maybe in this draft it's going to do something. So if you don't land those picks, they should just have like the young guys definitely play and. You know, in like a kind of lose now mentality. Like if D'Angelo Russell wants to, you know, be that guy and not even want to have the opportunity to see other players succeed or if he doesn't want to have like Lonzo Ball come in and take his spotlight, then maybe he's playing with that chip on his shoulder saying like, all right, maybe I'm going to go put up some buckets and now I'm going to like rally the troops and we're going to win some games and we're just going to like screw ourselves out of that pick.
Well, if you look what he said, I think it was today or yesterday, I don't know, he had actually come out and said, you know, everyone's going to be looking over their shoulder now. You know, everyone wants to impress Magic and everyone knows that, you know, they're expendable. I mean, there's no guarantee for the long term. You know, this is all really just an extended tryout for who's going to be around for the next generation.
So, who would you guys want? What all-star player right now if you were the GM, if you were Magic right now, what players would you want?
Anybody?
No, not anybody. Like LeBron, but like
give me LeBron.
No,
Stephen, Kevin Durant.
Yeah, okay. Just,
yeah.
No, I'm
Giannis.
I'm No, yeah. Definitely not them. But yeah. I'm like talking about, so Gordon Hayward's going to be a free agent next year. Jimmy Butler, they obviously are shopping him. Paul George, if you guys had to choose between those three players, what player would you want to build your team around for like the next four or five years?
Well, before you answer the question, you kind of think about, like, you know, LA is the kind of city and the kind of team where it has the fan base where you, like, it has to be a mutual relationship. Like, you have to want to be in LA and deal with the criticism and also, you know, the spotlight. So clearly, if Paul George and Isaiah Thomas both have clearly expressed interest. Paul George, an LA guy, really easy to sell to the LA fan base. So those two would be ideal, especially because, you know, they don't play the same position that Paul George and Jimmy Butler do, you know, both wing guys. Mm-hmm. So Paul George and Isaiah Thomas, I'd have to say, would be perfect fits.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think Paul George right now, obviously, is the guy that we want. I think with the way things are lining up, you know, with, you know, obviously expressing mutual interest, I think that Paul George is definitely the number one guy right now.
Yeah, I mean, Paul George is the number one guy right now. But, you know, these guys on your team, like, you got, like, Larry Nance. Like you got Brandon Ingram. Like, you started laughing.
Larry Legend.
I mean, do you want to see, like, the fans love these guys. Do you want to see them just, you know, get basically no playing time, like, coming in the near future? Do you guys actually want to see them develop? I just don't. Like, I don't see it in Brandon Ingram. I don't feel like he, like, I've said this from the draft last year. I don't think that he's going to be a franchise type player. I really don't think so. These comparisons that he had to KD last year were just outrageous. Like, I don't know what you guys think about that, but, you know, when they were comparing him at Duke as, you know, he could be the next KD, you know, he has the same size, you know, he's, like, matching up to him perfectly. I was just like, are you kidding me? Like, do you see KD? Do you see how he was coming out of Texas? Like, KD was, like, one of the best college basketball players ever for one season. He played center for Texas and, you know, was getting double-doubles almost every night playing a five out of position, shooting threes. So like, now let's just focus on Brandon Ingram. Did he pan out, or is he going to pan out to what you wanted it to be? And are the Lakers moving in the right direction with him? Like I know that Magic can definitely shape him a little bit more now, but do you actually have some, like, faith in him? Do you think he's going to be that Kevin Durant type of player?
You know, it's easy for me to say, you know, we spent the number two pick on him. Like, yes, he's going to be the guy. You know, we got to go all in on him. But
fortunately,
realistically going forward, a lot of guys don't end up being, you know, all NBA first team players like KD. So realistically, he could be like maybe a 20-8 guy going forward. You know, provides a lot of production, gets a big contract. But is he really going to be, like, the face of a franchise, selling just, like, crazy jersey numbers, going to get a statue outside? You know, yeah. Personally, I don't see it.
No,
I don't see it either. But I think the one thing that everybody's really high on is his versatility. I mean, his first year, I think Luke has done a great job, you know, keeping him involved in the offense, you know, while he's still developing. You know, a lot of the games he's been he comes in a lot of our rotations as our point guard. And I think a lot of games you see, you know, you're able to see his versatility. And I think that that's something that everyone's really excited about. But no, I don't see Brandon Ingram having a statue outside Staples Center in the, you know, 20 years from now.
Definitely a glue guy for, like, a winning team, though. You know, he can fill a lot of holes, does a lot of good things well, but doesn't do a lot of things exceptionally.
Yeah.
And so what are some of your disappointments on the season? Like, I know that they were shopping around Nick Young, and I thought he was going to get traded, like, right before the deadline. But I know there's, like, you know, even Jordan Clarkson, to a certain extent, he hasn't performed like how everyone thought he was going to this year, which is kind of, you know, it kind of sucks. I thought he was going to get picked up by another team this year. I thought that someone was going to sign him during free agency. I definitely didn't think he was going to, like, the Lakers were going to match the offers, but I thought that the Lakers were going to be like, all right, you know, like as soon as Brooklyn said, I'll give you him, you know, four years, like $50 million. I was like, oh yeah, the Lakers aren't going to do that. So I was hoping that he was going to go to a different team. I thought, like, the Cavs could use someone like Jordan Clarkson. So let's single it on three players: Jordan Clarkson, Nick Young, and Larry Nance.
Well, Jordan Clarkson personally has been a little bit of a disappointment. I really thought he was going to, like, blossom this year, turn to, like, that really good six man, like, you know, Jamal Crawford type, just comes off the bench, gets a lot of buckets. But personally, I'm kind of I'm kind of glad we still have him because he's still young and people know his potential. If you put him on a good team, he can really do a lot of good things. So he's still a good trade bait, so I'm glad that we got him back. As far as Larry Nance, he's a fan favorite, but he's not going to really, like, if you put him in a Game 7 of a series, I just feel like he's not going to be able to stand up against, like, a power forward or, like, a, you know, a power forward like Kevin Love or something like that, you know what I mean, for the Cavs.
Yeah, another thing, you know, you say Nick Young. I think Nick Young really, you know, obviously, you know, we are talking about Nick Young, but this year really especially, I think he's, you know, he's really increased his value. And he's somebody we need to deal as soon as possible.
Absolutely. I thought he was going to have the trade deadline for sure.
I honestly can't believe we held on to him. I was shocked.
Yeah, you guys should have got rid of him while he actually had the the high value right now. He was just in the three-point contest.
This is the highest value he's ever had in his whole career.
I wouldn't say that.
Close.
I don't know, man. When he was back on that Wizards team, like with Gilbert Arenas, they're pretty hot. They were a playoff team. But
Luke's got him defending and doing all these things that nobody's ever seen from Nick Young.
Yeah, I mean,
I've been shocked. It's been like a pleasant surprise this year.
No, yeah, definitely.
Would you agree, Wiz?
Definitely. He's really just like. Because especially after the whole D'Angelo Russell thing, this guy's literally the joke of the NBA. And he's turned himself into literally a productive player.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, he didn't make it too far in the three-point contest. That would have definitely, done something else for his career, which he hasn't gotten yet. But do you think that the Lakers are actually going to try to keep him? Do you actually think they are?
I can't see it for the long term. I love Nick Young, so personally this year, I like Nick Young, the guy. So seeing him, you know, step into his new role this year with the new coach and everything, and having him, you know, watching him guard, you know, some of the premier guards in the league, watching him, you know, match up against James Harden and actually taking that challenge. You know, I've been excited because I've always been a Nick Young fan, but I don't see him being a long-term part of this team, and I don't think anybody does. So the fact that, again, like we say, the fact that he was even here at the end of the trade deadline was a shock, to say the least.
And so, you know, we talked about the guards too much, you know, but it's kind of like a black hole down there in the front court. It's like, all right, it's getting, you know, it's like, who are these guys? You know, you signed, you know, it's definitely not Magic's. He didn't like signing Mozgov, which I think none of us did. Like, you play in the finals and you barely play in the finals with the Cavs a couple of years back, and you win a championship. So what does that make you, tier two center? I don't think so. And then last year he obviously didn't play, so it's just like, it's just shocking to me, like. Are you serious? Like, did you guys just pick up Timothy Mozgov when you guys had? I think there was a couple other people like available at that time.
Yeah.
And then they give him a lot of money, and then you also have Tariq Black, which I actually like him.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, and
all energy
guy, and then you got what's that guy's name? How do you pronounce it? Zubac.
Yeah, it was a Zubac.
Yeah. So. Where do you guys want to see the Lakers moving forward with their front court? Because that's like kind of like you get the Brandon Ingrams, you get the D'Angelo Russells, right. Jordan Clarkson, but it's kind of like, all right, what's going on down there? You know, who's in it? That's been a big problem for him. Like, I watched the game like when DeMarcus was still on the Kings about 2 weeks ago. They literally cannot. No one on that team could guard DeMarcus. Well, no one in the NBA really can guard DeMarcus Cousins, but. The Lakers especially, that was the most dominating performance I've seen by DeMarcus this season. It was, you know, it was like, let's throw a body on him and let's see if, you know, we can do something with it. And I was just kind of like, okay, like, feed the ball to DeMarcus. Yeah, spin move right by Zubiak, spin move right by Tariq Black. Yeah, spin move, dunk on Larry Nance. It was just kind of like shocking to me. I'm like, okay, well, you got all these guards. Like, what the hell are you guys gonna do? When you guys got to face the Anthony Davises every night, the Marcus Cousins. So, Alex, I'll start with you first on that.
So, first of all, don't talk mess about my boy Ivica Zubac. All right, that guy's the future right there. Zubac, I love Zubac, but honestly, in
in today's NBA, it's such a guard heavy, wing heavy league. I mean, there's really, I mean, how many bigs, you know, can you count off the top of your head that can catch the ball in the post and get you a bucket? Karl Anthony Towns.
DeMarcus.
Anthony Davis. Who else?
Maybe Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah. LaMarcus Aldridge.
But
Hassan
not really.
Whiteside, not even.
Yeah. Like,
you know,
DeAndre,
I mean,
Jordan maybe around the rim.
DeAndre, give me a break. All right, no.
I mean, you throw it up to him.
That's not. Yeah. I'm talking about a guy, a big guy, with footwork and touch around the rim that you can throw the ball to in the post and know that he's going to get you a bucket. I mean, it's really just, it's, you know, they're scarce in the league today. The league has transitioned so much, obviously, with the, you know, the three-point shooting and the stretch fours and, you know, the way that the game's evolved, it's kind of left us without many true bigs.
Exactly.
So, going forward, I don't know. I mean, it's, right now, it's hope and pray that Ivica Zubac is the future.
I mean,
he's 19 years old. I mean, the kid can play. He's 19 years old.
That's true.
The 7-footer from really, Croatia or wherever he's from.
I'm going to get some clarification on
that.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he's from Croatia. But you know, phenomenal touch around the rim. I mean, he's a true traditional big. And hopefully it pans out for us because we don't have too much of... He's from Croatia.
Yeah, Croatia.
Yeah, hopefully that pans out for us because we don't have too much of anything else. In that regard right now or on the horizon.
No.
Doesn't sound like we have any plans to get anybody like that with that kind of skill set.
As far as the big situation, it's definitely going to be something that has to be addressed through the draft because I just feel like there's not that many
but the thing is, though,
out there.
It doesn't even seem like there's that many in the
No,
team.
No, but the thing is, this draft, there's no one.
Yeah,
I mean, well...
They're all guards.
Well, no, there is a couple. There's, like, Caleb Swanigan from, like, Purdue.
Right.
There's a lot of foreign bigs this year.
Right.
But this is a guard heavy draft coming up. A lot of point guards, a lot of shooting guards.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys get that top three, you guys are picking a guard.
Right.
Absolutely, no doubt.
Point
going
guard,
forward is
point guard, shooting guard.
Yeah.
But you guys got that Rockets pick now,
mm-hmm.
for the late first round pick. So, and I don't know if there's gonna be like a guard that's gonna be like, you know, a game changing guard at that spot this year. So if you're able to pick up one of these, you know, big stilts down there, like one of these foreign guys or like one of these, like, you know, like Big Ten centers or Big Ten power forwards, I would definitely do it.
Because going forward, basically, like we said earlier, it's all about player development. Like, obviously, we're going to throw big money at guards like Isaiah Thomas, Paul George, you know, anybody we can get in free agency that's going to get us buckets. But pretty much like Alex was saying earlier, the NBA has turned into like a run and gun, chuck it up league. So really the value of the center now is more rebounding.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get somebody who can just rebound, maybe doesn't have, like, you know, the touch that they have around the rim, but if you can rebound it, kick it back out, run another play, run it back through, that's really, like, where the value is in the NBA
DeAndre
for big
Jordan.
Guys now.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Jordan,
DeAndre
perfect
Jordan
example.
Types. Yeah, I think when you talk about the foreign stilts, I think those are the guys that still have, you know, that we see more so with those traditional big skills. And now we got guys like Kristaps Porzingis coming in that can also shoot the three ball.
Yeah. Kristaps
like
is
that.
The other one. Yeah.
Right. But I think that, you know, for most of the American guys that we see coming out, I mean, the DeAndre Jordan types, the value really is, you know, can you defend out on the perimeter even though you're big? I mean, a lot, like, DeAndre Jordan is a guy that can, you know, that can get out and, you know, switch on people and defend a lot of different positions too and rebound at an insanely high level. Andre Drummond, another guy. So I think that just with the way that the league has evolved, the skill sets, at least, you know, with, you know, in the U.S. have really, really changed.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah. In the, if you guys are looking for like a big who, I feel like the Lakers have been like notorious for these big guys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that DeMarcus Cousins, you know, trading for Brandon Ingram, I thought that would have been a no brainer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you guys have had these, like
right.
You guys had, you know, like Will Chamberlain, you guys had Shaq. Who else? You guys had
We tried Dwight Howard.
Yeah,
we
you guys tried Dwight.
Vlade Divac, baby.
Vlade.
Yeah.
You guys are always going after these bigs. So and you got Powell.
Mm-hmm.
You
Andrew
guys,
Bynum. Don't forget the goat.
Bynum,
the goat.
Yeah.
Center that never was.
You know, you guys got all these, you know, bigs that are like past Lakers. You know,
mm-hmm.
some of them are Laker greats.
Right.
You know, I thought that for sure you guys would have traded Brandon Ingram away for it.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't and it, like how the firing happened around the same time, yeah. It kind of like raises a question, like, okay,
what
did
happen?
Did like Kupchak, like, you know, did he like was not,
did he swing and miss?
Yeah, did he swing and miss? Like, did he not, you know, add in some of the necessary things to pick up DeMarcus Cousins? You know, probably the Kings were like, okay, like if you guys throw us that first round pick, right. You know, we really, you know, it's gonna suck if it's not top three, you know. So that's probably what the major factor was with that, because they didn't want to, you know, go in there and grab a lower level pick and not get that top three. You know, if you train DeMarcus Cousins away, you'd want that, you know, high pick,
right.
Plus a, you know, value player and like Brandon Ingram. But yeah, no, like that was just crazy to me that the Lakers haven't even addressed that void down there. They tried with Mozgov, but I think that Magic will turn things around.
Yeah.
Like, he definitely doesn't like that Mozgov deal. I know that for sure.
He's going to try and get him out as soon as
Nobody
he can.
Nobody likes that
Mozgov. Mozgov's going to be a quick casualty. So,
we'll see. Quicker than Dwight or what? No.
Oh, no. I mean, he's going to be hard to dump, but Magic's going to do everything in his power to, you know,
yeah.
Get him moving on with his career in somewhere else.
So yeah, Magic has a lot to do with the Lakers right now. Obviously, you know, and then Blinka's going to go in there and do a good job. I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to be able to get some players in there. But now we got Luke Walton. Luke Walton's the head coach. You know, he's kind of like that tier two guy, bench guy, that role player. But now this year, he's kind of like came out. Now he's like the vocal leader. He's getting teased, you know. Do you like what you're seeing from Luke this year? Like, do you think he's a great, like, player development type of guy? I think he is, because I think he's in practice with them almost every day, you know, actually in there with them in the gym. Mm-hmm. He's actually shooting with them in the gym, you know, rather than, like, just sitting back and, you know, just watching things happen as a head coach, like most head coaches do. But he has such young guys where he knows everyone's role, and he kind of knows, like, what he has to do as a head coach. Are you guys liking what he's doing right now?
I love it. I you know, obviously, he's the label that has been slapped on him from day one is he's a player's coach. And he learned from probably the, you know, one of the best player, you know, greatest player coaches in the league right now, Steve Kerr. I mean, everybody loves Steve. And obviously, you know, the success that they've had up north, you know, is a you know, a testament to, you know, to the coaching. And you know, when Luke took over, you know, there was no hiccups there. I mean, it was a pretty seamless,
mm-hmm.
seamless transition there from when Steve was out and, you know, and he wasn't doing well. But I think everybody in LA loves Luke. I mean, even when he was a player, he's a fan favorite. I've had, you know, I was fortunate enough to have season Laker tickets for, you know, through the 2009-2010 championships, and then when we had lost to Boston the year before that too. But I mean, every time he checked into the game, Luke. I mean, he was the guy, man. Everybody loved him, and now that he's the guy running the show, I couldn't be happier personally. And I think all the players love him. I mean, you can just tell. You can tell the way they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's really brought new life. He's like, when even in the post game interviews, you know, there's a lot more passion from these players. He's really bringing it out of them. Luke's a typical LA guy. Went to UCLA, Laker fan favorite, you know, just really the perfect fit for this young and upcoming, you know, Lakers team.
Yeah, you know, I like what Luke's doing. He's definitely showing that fire and that passion that, you know, he is here to stay, and he's the real deal. You know, it's kind of a bonus that he took the Warriors. I mean, he's the assistant coach for the Warriors for a couple of years, you know. I mean, that's obviously what got him the job, but, you know, he knows what it takes to win. You know, he's been there with Kobe, you know, he's been there with Phil. He knows, he's been in that system. He knows what practices are supposed to look like. He knows what effort you're supposed to put forth in practice. He knows what a championship mentality is. He's not going to take any slack from his guys. You know, if D'Angelo Russell wants to be the best, he's going to be like, okay, well, play like the best, because he played with the best.
Right.
And Kobe. So, you know, it's basically going to be like a learning experience for him as he goes on along this journey as being like a mentor to all these young guys. But I definitely see the value in bringing him there. It was definitely a great move for LA. Like, I didn't see anyone else that they would rather have gotten, because all these coaches that they've gotten in the past have just been god awful.
Journeyman,
just not working out.
Yeah.
So guys, can we say the Lakers are going to be good within the next 4 or 5 years? Playoffs?
No, yeah, no doubt. Four,
playoffs at least.
Playoffs in 2 years.
Playoffs in 2 years.
2 years?
I believe that.
I'm gonna say about three yeah. years.
Maybe I am playoffs. Speaking. I am, of course, speaking with my LA bias, but I say 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
After we sign Paul George.
Oh. All right. So
after we sign Paul George, he's taking us to the promised land.
Yeah. So you know, like any good Laker fan, they always want to pick up anybody in free agency. So you know, I kind of see where you guys are coming from. I kind of that way towards my Kings and towards my Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. But I do think the Timberwolves are going to make the playoffs on a consistent basis before the Lakers are.
I would agree with that.
So,
no doubt.
So, yeah. I'm sorry to tell you guys that, but it's going to happen.
Truth hurts.
Yeah. And, all right. So, it feels like we covered all the topics. You covered everything from A to Z. Covered the whole firings. You covered new players you want to see. Covered every single player on the team. Gave a little bit of what we think about them. And so, you know, it's time to wrap this up. You know, thanks for hanging with us, guys. And I'm just going to... You know, sign off right now. We got AV right here. Thank you for giving your insight on LA basketball and Calabasas' very own.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on today. It was an absolute pleasure.
And Wiz, man, I know you're a Kobe guy. I know you love the Lakers, but sorry, man, they're not gonna be making the playoffs anytime soon.
Oh, trust me, I know. It is. You know, it's really just a learning experience because you can't win all the time. You know, what I mean, just so many years of success, you got to take a couple L's, and there's some fat L's being handed out right now to the Laker fans.
Oh, yeah, it's gonna be a big L if they don't get that top three quick. So, all right, for Manny Vietes, this is the Vietes Rundown. Hope you guys enjoy. Catch me on my next podcast coming this weekend. All right, peace.